It's October 19th. The Astros could not eliminate the Yankees. There will be a game six, and we will be discussing five and six. Let's do it. All right, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us and listening to the episode today. My name's John Boy. I'm coming to you from New Jersey, and I got my best friend and co-host, Jake, and he's not coming to you from Denver, and he's not coming to you from New York City, and he's not coming to you from Montana, and he's not coming to you from Sydney, Australia, and he's not coming to you from Japan, and he's not coming to you from Maine, and he's not coming to you from Texas. He's coming to you from Nashville. How you doing, Jake?
Music City. Music City. Thanks for that intro. I'm good, man. I'm good. We're riding hot. I think we need to be honest about that from the start, especially compared to where we were 24 hours ago. And we've got a special thing going on for the people. It's like that first time you combine two groups of friends, and you're like, oh boy.
You're like, these are my high school friends, and I'm introducing them to my college friends. I hope they don't get along. I think Tom and Eddie might fight. It seems like they're going to hate each other, but like, come on, let's be cool.
Yeah, everyone just, you know, be cordial. Like, yeah, there's some people that like us that we like the Yankees. There's some people that don't even know we like the Yankees still.
Yeah.
So,
and if you don't know, throw
them in a room, everyone grab a drink and be friendly.
Yeah, and if you don't know what Jake's talking about, we are doubling up. We're doing one episode for Yankee, talking Yanks, and one episode for talking baseball. We did it yesterday, but what we did is we gave the talking baseball people the most, like, biased, emotionally driven talking Yanks episode, probably recorded since they got eliminated last season. This will be a little more level-headed talking baseball episode that everyone can enjoy, I hope. Honestly, though, Jake, yesterday, I'm so embarrassed looking back at it. You know what I mean? Like, employee Bill was hanging out, and he was like, hey, you guys are pretty sad. And I'm like, man, I mean, that's like kind of, I think, why people enjoy listening to us is because I didn't want to record last night because I was fucking
no.
I was as low as I'll get. But we commit to putting the microphone in front of us and trying to rip our hearts out and put them into actual words. And people can commiserate with that. And like, it's embarrassing now. But I think I said I have no hope. I have hope now. So it's just kind of how it goes. But yeah. Yesterday's episode was pretty sad, Jake.
Yeah, and that's why we made a mutual decision to, A, not wake up early to record the same shit again when we were just going to be really sad about it, and B, we thought it'd be funny to put it on Talking Baseball because it was honest Yankee sadness, which, if, you know, that still, people can enjoy that. A lot of people enjoy the Yankee tears a little bit. But, yeah, man, and it's funny. With sports, and it's why sports are awesome. I mean, we try to script it, whether it's, you know, any game you see played. You can bring up a regular season pitching matchup, and you and I could say, like, oh, you know, it could be any team. And you're like, oh, well, this pitcher should be good. He's been hot lately. That lineup's been struggling. You know, I think you're going to see some good baseball today, and then if they get into the bullpen, they should do great. It's just not how sports works. It's just not. And the Yankees come and they beat Verlander at home. The crowd does their job. The Yankees recover from, another laughable start.
Don't give it away.
And it feels good, man. And I know you and I are running hot. And what's going to be the trickiest for Yankees fans is tomorrow, when we talk about tomorrow's game in the later part of this episode. You know, it's almost like I feel like Yankee fans are going to start assuming tomorrow and be like, oh, well, yeah, you know, Cole's going to be ready in game seven. It's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Go to Houston. You have to execute everything perfectly to hopefully get a shot at that. And let's go.
Yeah, you want to burn this game, and then we'll get into it. And then I think there's some at-hole stuff we need to discuss in the series now that we're five games deep, three wins to two wins. Like, there's a lot. This is the point that when you get to a game six in a seven-game set is when you're like, wow, we've really played the same team an unusual amount of times. That's what I was thinking today.
Yeah.
Like seeing Verlander twice in the same week and them seeing Paxton twice and, like, you know, Alvarez is doing nothing and Gary Sanchez is doing, like, you know, like we're like so ingrained and we're so deep that you're like, all right, Let's see who everyone's doing. So I think we can kind of pull the picture back a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, I am just more on my mindset. I had conceded, Jake, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Yeah. I'm embarrassed for myself, but I'm not really ashamed because, you know, I told Katie, like, hey, if the Yankees lose tonight, Saturday is completely an off day for me. Like, I'm not going to do anything. And we can have, like, a full-on date day, go to the movies, go get massages, do all this. My cousin is hosting a pumpkin carving contest, and I got myself kind of up for that. I was like, that'd be nice. I can attend all that stuff, you know, and not tied to my computer watching baseball. Okay, I guess the season's over. And then Hicks hits that home run, and I'm like, fuck all that. That's more baseball. So... But I was pretty bad. I was in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoy your pumpkin carving. I got work to do.
I do like the pumpkin carving competition.
Yeah, and it's don't know, some different things about our personalities where you and I are so similar on a lot of things, but like if there's a 2% window, I love leaving that window cracked just because I'm kind of a horse's ass that has some bad gambling habits. but, yeah, you know, I thought I'd wake up today with hope. Last night it was really tough to find it, and then I found enough of it. And here we are, and let's more baseball, baby.
Let's burn it right after a word from this sponsor. You been listening, Jake? We get like this cheese and wine sponsor. And a Casper sponsor. I'm like, yo, give me some beds. I need some beds. All right, you ready to burn? You got to do vocal stuff because your video is just frozen. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you were coming in clear, and now you're... very choppy.
Okay. We just had like a Lake Eufaula delay there, so I'm hope we don't run into that.
Scary.
Oh, no. We got a delay. Okay. On your mark. Get set. Burn! Oh, no.
Game 5 ALDS. Yankees are in passionate kiss mode as their backs are against the wall. James Paxton versus Justin Timberlake. Verlander as the Yanks try to bring their sexy back for Game 6 in Houston. Top one, the Yankees' House of Horrors continues. Tapper under Pax's glove. Pass balls. Yanks are lucky to get out of the first, only giving up one. The Astros would not be so lucky. DJ 26 with another one. Lead off homer to spark the Yanks and the crowd. Speaking of spark the crowd, they're calling Aaron Hicks Akon because I see him winding and grinding up on that pole. Three-run yacker off the right field pole. Yanks have an intentional walk inning as they throw up a four spot. Then guess what? Like me playing pickup versus LeBron, it's scoreless the rest of the way. Who knew Maple Leafs had nuts in it? Ballsy performance by the Big Maple. Canely, Britton, and Chapman hold it. Yanks win 4-1. Bring the series back to Houston.
Very nice, Jake. Very nice. Very nice. I liked the winding and grinding up on the pole. I liked bring the Maple had nuts in it. And it looks like, if I'm judging your reactions on your face, we got rid of the Lake Eufaula delay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nope.
you were clear as day the whole way. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, you're a low-key huge Akon fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was felt bad for him, you know? Like, how is he supposed to know that she was underage when it's an 18 and older club, they say? You know? That's not his fault.
Right.
Sorry for the times
right,
I let you
I get
down.
That.
Yeah, and all that shit. So, you know, Mr. Lonely, I'm all about it.
Yo, Mr. Lonely is one of the more hilarious songs of all time.
Mr. Lonely, I'm so lonely.
I have nobody to come on. Yes.
Put it on a record now.
Yeah, they sound like they're in a better mood tonight.
All right. Open up the game and the Yankees shit the bed right away. I mean, a little tipper, tapper up the middle, goes under Paxton's glove, and then Glaber tries to barehand it, and he can't do anything with it. And it's like, okay, we're going to unravel from the jump. This was the one thing we couldn't do, and we've done it. Then we double up. Gary has a pass ball, goes to or wild pitch. I don't know which one. I don't know what the scoring was. Goes to second, and then we double up again. Paxton loses the zone and walks a guy, and then we quadruple up, and he scores. Springer scores on a wild pitch pass ball. And, I mean, as a Yankee fan, like you're like, this is hell. We just came off the worst game we've ever played in game five or game four, and this is how we open up this one. Paxton, who can crumble, he can unravel, and by God, DJ opening up with that home run right away. I know like the Hicks home run is really what solidified it, but that DJ opening up right away, just before they even get an out, before there's a hit, before there's a base runner, it's tied back to 0-0. And it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, we laughed. Right after we recorded the pregame show, I was telling you I was going to tweet out this list of things that can't happen. Item one was no errors, which is hilarious. And after the massacre yesterday, they come out and they have two errors in the first inning. Ball goes right under Paxton's glove, and all you could do is laugh. Like, I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong, but, like, I wasn't sitting there angry. I was just like,
oh
my God.
I was already dead. You can't kill the dead or whatever.
Yeah, our best-selling shirt, You Can't Kill the Dead. And we, I don't know, you just had to laugh, and then, okay, you get out of the inning again, and I think the thing that was different mood-wise is that we've seen James Paxton's first-inning struggles all season, literally the worst first-inning pitcher in baseball. So I think there was a little solace in that would not have normally been there if this was Severino, Tanaka, or other. And then, yeah, the LeMahieu thing is huge because it's the punch right back. It's over. First batter of the game, and it's Verlander, and we're on it. You know, his home run to tie the game so you could make Paxton's first inning a wash is huge. But also just LeMahieu comes up, and he hits that. Judge ropes a ball. Glaber ropes a ball, and it's like, okay. Like, those were, like, the three... I'd have to double-check StatCast, but those felt like the three hardest-hit Yankees balls we've seen basically all series.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to check StatCast as well. Judge is pretty hard. I will say this, though. Like, the Yankees have had a lot of pitchers on the ropes, and they can't score in the first. And Paxton got out of it because the Astros couldn't score in the first either, and whoever scored more runs in the first inning was going to be it. And that's kind of been the model for Paxton and Verlander, where you know Verlander is going to deal. Like, he's going to find himself. And if you want – we've been saying this on Talking Baseball for a while. If you want to get to him, you have to get to him in the first. Otherwise, he's going to fuck you up. And, I mean, Hicks hitting the foul pole – It's a series saver at the moment because the offense didn't do anything the rest of the way. The Astros 1-2-3'd. Verlander 1-2-3'd and Peacock 1-2-3'd six times out of eight. Yankees got up eight times, Jake, and six times they went down 1-2-3'. Like, besides the first inning, they were utterly dominated.
And the foul pole. This is going to sound corny, but I think it's also why people enjoy us, because the romantic side to baseball, like, The foul pole just feels like the gods are on your side.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So much shit can go wrong in this game. When you see that ball hit the pole, and when they showed the zoomed out reaction of the whole stadium, because the whole stadium can see that. It's just kind of a special thing, and you, as a Yankee fan, you hope you look back and be like, yeah, that damn pole turned around our whole series. But, like, dude, think about, and maybe this is dumb, but Yankees lose this game if that ball goes a foot to the right. Like, if that ball goes to the foot, a foot to the right of the pole, and Hicks pimped it, Yankee fans and the Yankees team are just looking around at each other like, it's just not our fucking week, huh? Yeah. But instead, it hits the pole, and you and I have been harping so much on the first inning of these games that we've sounded kind of lame. Like, I've been coming off of it just because it's felt like we've been saying the same thing every time. All the runs in the first inning. That was it.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, but, like, that's the – we got a lot of pitchers here that once they settle in – I mean, even Greinke, once they settle in and they find their rhythm, good luck. You're not going to touch them. You yeah. wait to the bullpen,
and it's
and I mean, obviously, most of those pitchers are Astros pitchers, Paxton and the three Astros pitchers, because even Tanaka's not like that. But
yeah, I mean, all of these pitchers are. I think what you're saying, all these pitchers are at the quality level that if they get on a roll, they're going to start rolling. Like your hitting is now the problem. Like, you have to find a way to break them.
Yeah. What I mean, Paxton was good in this game. Did you like my theory that he was only allowing a base runner every inning just to keep the crowd into it?
Yeah,
because when you strand a runner, the third out means more. The crowd gets more hype going into the next inning. It's a good strategy, and I think maybe that's why Astros weren't able to put any across, because they were just 1-2-3-ing the Yankees. Verlander needed to let some Yankees reach base to give them more momentum when he got the third out. It's a new strategy I'm developing called don't do this.
Don't ever do this again. Yeah, no, it's a theory. Thanks for bringing it to all of us. I do have something that's a faux theory, PHO theory,
okay,
that I want to bring
yeah,
to you.
FAUX theory. Yeah, we got it.
That's an abbreviation for phony. I mentioned this during the pregame show, and now I'm glad I did. But the game I wanted to play with you was, I thought James Paxton could decide a lot of how he's viewed by Yankee fans by this performance tonight. Because if he threw up a dud, you know, Yankee fans were going to point to two bad starts against Houston. They were going to point to the middle part of the season where he was bad. Or if James Paxton had a great performance tonight, you know, you could point to him ending the season on like a 10-game winning streak, and he can kind of be this endearing figure to him. It also ties into his personality a little bit. And I think, and this is the corny part of it, but I do think there's a part of that that ties in that, like, I don't know, if James Paxton had his A++ stuff tonight and he was pegging 98, 99 casually here and there and just dominating the Stros, like, yes, that would have been awesome, and we would have been like, yo, Paxton shoved. But he didn't have his A++ stuff tonight. He had to fight, and he worked and he earned this game. And I think I don't know if he earns bonus points for that, but he gets a little credit in a different area.
Paxton?
Yeah.
He gets credit for being gutty, dude. It's like something we haven't seen in a while.
Right?
And that leads into something I just got DM about that's funny. When Boone went to ask him if you're okay, and you said, I'm good. Let's go. Let's fucking go. So I just got a DM from our good friend Lindsay Adler, who writes for The Athletic. And they asked him, so was it, I'm good, let's go, let's fucking go? And Paxton's response was, yep, did John Boy see that? That's pretty cool.
Nice.
He said all his friends were texting really about it.
That's funny.
I mean, it was pretty clear that's what he said. And it's cool. I mean, you want those moments.
Yeah, that
that home run might have almost ruined it. You know what I was going to do, Jake? I had it set up to, like, have the gif of him lips, like reading his lips, said, let's go, let's fucking go. And then I was going to play like the out right afterwards, like if it was a strikeout, you know, because that would be even more badass. But then it was like a deep fly, scary ass fucking rope. And I was like, you know, I'll just do that. That was cool.
Never a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Astros, you came into Yankee Stadium and you won two games. And now you have two games at home and Cole is saved. So, like, do you think there's any Astros fans shaking right now? Because, I mean, taking off my Yankee cap as much as I possibly can to the Talking Baseball listeners.
Right.
If you're a Yankees, if you're an Astros fan, if I was an Astros fan, I'd be sitting pretty cocky still. You got to come to our place, beat us twice, and beat Cole once. I'd be sitting there pretty cocky. Like, as a Yankee fan, I can try and talk myself into it, rile up hope. As an Astros fan, I don't think they should be fearsome.
If I were an Astros fan, the first time you would get genuinely nervous would be before a first pitch of the Game 7. Because they have literally an ace in a hole. They have the ace in the hole in Gerrit Cole. So, A, they're saying, all right, we're going to go back home. We'll take care of this in Game 6 and move on. If they don't, they're still going to say, well, this is why we, like, they'll be saying, like, well, we could have pitched Cole Game 6, but we saved him for Game 7 because we knew we'd have him. So, and you're welcome, Houston, for that impression. I just think, and then right before Game 7, you'd go like, holy shit, the pressure would be on us because we had a 3-1 lead. We have Gerrit Cole on the mound. If we fuck this up, we're the assholes. But yeah, if you're Houston, you're still confident. I think what is the funny thing, Jimmy, that I'll say confidently because it's kind of bad for Houston, it's gotten overlooked because the Yankees haven't played good baseball in about two games. Houston hasn't been great. I think they have three games where they're hitless with runners in scoring position. There's a couple guys in their lineup that are really struggling, but the Yankees were like one-upping them. And now I think some of the Houston flaws of this series are being brought to light a little bit more.
The Houston flaws, like, Alvarez, it's their hitting. It's just no one can hit, really. Do you know that Houston is worse than the Yankees with runners in scoring position in this series?
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm saying. Like, it was funny before today's game, some of the Houston beat writers were, like, posting the numbers and be like, you know, oh, yeah, you think the Yankees are having bad luck? Like, look at Houston. And it's like, well, A, a lot of the pitchers are shoving, and B, yeah. Like, it was before today's game, it was a great thing for Houston that they were still winning with these stats. After tonight's game, it's kind of like, oh, Houston's got some problems too.
Yeah. How many players do you think in this series, and we're five games deep, have a batting average on both teams? Damn, this is through the first four games, so it's a little harder.
Yeah.
Damn. Through the first
who's
four.
Who's hitting? Let's play that game.
No, I was going to play.
Let's
who,
Jake
I was
and John
play,
boy this.
I was
who's
gonna,
hitting?
I was going to play who's not hitting because the Astros actually have more.
Okay.
They have more players after four games with a batting average that starts with a zero than the Yankees, which I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah.
They have Yuli Gurriel and Alvarez. Both those guys have a 0.63 and 0.67 after four. Did Yuli get some hits today? No. Gurriel and Alvarez both went 0 for 4. So those guys, those guys are the biggest black holes for the Astros. And then on the Yankees, you have a lot. You have Gardner, Gary. Edwin's out now, but Stan didn't look good. Who is hitting?
Yeah, and
Altuve.
I mean, it's what the Yankees just did when Yordan Alvarez and Yuli Gurriel, the Y guys, when they were involved a little earlier in the series, I mean, those were their 5 and 6 hitters, and Correa was 7-hole, which, and Correa, you know, was a big threat. He obviously had the game-winning home run you know, that stretches out their lineup so much more. Now that those guys are struggling, and even Correa's not having a great series, the ones he's hit have counted big time. But yeah, I mean, Houston is having a very similar situation to what the Yankees were having, with only their top guys really bringing it to the plate, and the rest just being a dead hole.
Chirinos is now 0 for 13 in four games. After five games, Jake, how many people have more than two hits?
Whoa, this sounds like an awesome stat. I'm really excited for this. So you have to have three hits or more.
Three hits or more after five games. The Yankees have four players that have more than two hits. And the Astros have four as well. It's 4-4. Or no. Did Bregman get a hit today? Okay, it's 5-4. Astros have five. Yankees have four. Altuve, Brantley, Correa, Springer, Bregman all have more than two hits. Springer and Bregman only have three each. DJ, Glaber, Judge, and Didi have three. It's really just the top of the lineups for both teams, man. Altuve, Brantley, yeah. DJ, Glaber, Judge. Those are like the guys that are hitting. It's very top of the order heavy.
It shows up in the stats, and it shows up in the feel for the game. I mean, when was the last time that we were at a team's, you know, eighth or ninth hitter, and we were like, oh, crap. Like, it just hasn't happened.
No, and they let Marisnik.
Because all those guys feel bad.
Marisnik got a hit today, and I was like, come on. Because now Paxton puts two on for Springer. I was pretty like, yeah. You can't do this, Paxton. Come on, man. And then he gets out of it. He struck out Springer, so that was cool. But he had Marisnik 0 for 2. They throw Marisnik in there versus a lefty, right? Are they going to make any changes to their lineup? They have Tucker, who they can play. They started him a game, and they started him in the ALDS game. Reddick had a couple hits and a bomb home run. Do they make any changes? Do they take out Alvarez? Do they take out Gurriel for a start? Because tomorrow is going to be all bullpen days. So you're going to want to mix and match a lot of people. And maybe, like, you know, if you can sprinkle Tucker, the lefty, in to change up the matchups a little instead of Alvarez or instead of Gurriel. Alvarez is a lefty. So put Marisnik in instead, and then Tucker, I don't know. Do they make any changes, do you think?
I'll say this. I think with the lineup, they don't really make any changes. I think right field for them right now, Reddick and the kid Kyle Tucker is kind of a coin flip. Tucker's obviously much more talented, but Reddick's the veteran, and you saw, like, a mistake got made to Reddick, and he put it in the seats. And he made a really nice catch today. That Reddick basket catch, that was underrated. Well, that's a nice play.
Yeah, it is a very, very nice play, but it looked funky because when broadcasts switch from one camera to the other, you lose some frames. So they were on the wide camera, and he didn't catch it yet. He was running it down, and then they switched to the closed camera, and it was in his glove. And in that one frame that it jumped, we didn't see it go into his glove. So it was like, what the fuck just happened? It was weird.
So I think for Houston, it's less of, I don't think for game six you make any drastic changes. I mean, Yordan Alvarez is going to win the Rookie of the Year, having only played like 90 games or something. I think what has been allowed is that you're more open to pinch hit opportunities. Like maybe they'd, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't be scared to use Marisnik. You know, he's a defensive specialist for them. Does that mean they start him and they're not afraid to go away from him? Or if Tyler Lyons came in for a Josh Reddick at bat? Would they pinch hit him? I don't know. I think if you're Houston, you definitely have to be more open to that. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Coming into tonight, there was a chance Houston steamrolled this series 4-1, and, you know, things were kind of rainbows and butterflies. It's compromising. No, no. Love Maroon 5.
Crushed it.
But I think, again, after today, a lot of the things that have been like, oh, yeah, the Astros, you know, they're a great team and stuff has been going their way. The second line has been like, yeah, the Astros are a good team, but they've got their problems too. And it's it'll be interesting to see how aggressively Hinch does attack those.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Hinch attacks his bullpen day tomorrow. I mean, your Keady is going to get a chunk of action, I'm guessing, Jake.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I think we rope a doped Brad Peacock.
You think so? They let him get him out 1-2-3 today? I mean, Judge was sitting off speed again and took a fastball down the middle, strike three.
They let Brad Peacock look good, because I think now AJ Hinch will use him tomorrow and they think Brad Peacock's meat. So that was the old rope dope.
That was smart of them.
Yeah.
So Jose Urquidy, and I have no idea if I'm saying that right, he pitched one postseason outing in Tampa Bay when Verlander sucked. He hit Darnot in the first, then they got the double play ball, then he gave up a single, then a walk. So the first four batters he faced, he allowed on. Then he got a strikeout, got out of that. And then the next inning, single, strikeout, single, strikeout. So, I mean, that's a lot of base runners and not a lot of time.
And I think he
let five base runners on while recording five outs. And it's a small sample, but it's in his first time in the postseason. But
right.
I'm trying to say is your Keady's not really a threat. And he's their bolt guy, I think.
I think one thing that you and I will mutually agree on, Jim, is that if we were AJ, how about on the count of three, if you were AJ Hinch, who do you start in game six? 1, 2, 3.
Joe Smith. Yeah. Okay. That was cool.
It's a no-brainer for us. He looked really good. The Yankees are going to have those three righties at the top of the order. And Joe Smith's a veteran. I think he's like 15 years in the league. So that seems like a no-brainer. We'll see what Hinch actually does. For Urquidy, Jim, I think, again, I'm getting into Jim mode, which is my favorite mode. I think we've been saying this all series, so I don't think this is too Yankee-centric to say. The Yankees are rooting for bullpen throughout this series. When the Astros bullpen comes in, that's a win. When the Yankees bullpen comes in, they feel like that's a win. And it's a bullpen day.
Yeah, but the Astros bullpen has been great and not bad. So I don't know if that's...
They have. Yeah. They have, but I mean, if you're the Yankees, like this is what you wanted. Think about before the rainout, how excited Yankee fans were for the bullpen game.
I know. No, I totally agree with you, but we were expecting to get to the bullpen, and after game one, we haven't. They've been fine. I mean, the bullpen looked better than Verlander, and then the bullpen looked better than Cole almost.
Yeah, I think the bullpen stats are actually skewed a little bit because Glaber got the one run off of Joe Smith. And then in the first game, the Yankees put up some bonus runs against the bullpen. So those numbers look skewed. But in the innings that have mattered for Houston's bullpen, they've been great.
Yeah. Who do we – all right. Well, we're going
to – we'll kick it to – what? Any final thoughts on today's game?
Final thoughts is this was Judge. There was a quote that Bregman said after game two where Bregman said something like, we weren't going to go to New York down 0-2. That was Bregman's quote, right? Right?
Yeah. Our team was never going to go down 0-2.
And there was like an extra in this game. And I had no problem with the quote at all. Like, I totally get it. But a lot of Yankee fans had an issue with it. And there were,
I thought it was a hard out quote. I thought it was a hard out quote, and I think the same with Judge's.
Yeah, Judge just said the same thing. So my message to Yankee fans is, if you were upset with what Bregman said, Judge just said the same exact thing. His quote after the game was, "I knew we were going back to Houston after I woke up this morning." It's fine. Like that's what like they're athletes. Like
yeah,
if they lost, he would have pocketed that feeling.
yeah. That thought would not have come out if the Yankees lost.
I just think it's funny how much there was an uproar when Bregman said it in Yankees Twitter, and like I wonder if there's not now because it's the same exact quote, and it's fine. It's just like I was confident. It's easy to say I was confident after the fact, but anyway, let's take a quick break, and then we will come back and preview this game six a little more. Okay, cool. Break over. Jake, who is the Yankees' bulk guy? Chad Green's going to get this start. I would, if he doesn't, I'd be shocked. What can Astros fans, third-party fans expect? Because it's kind of a toss-up. Do you go Hap? Do you go Sessa? Do you go Johnny Els? Who's coming in after Chad? In your perfect world, if you map out 9 innings, and we can try to do this for the Astros, but we won't be able to do it as well. Can I try to do it first?
Right. Yes.
I think you get 2+ out of Chad.
I'll add on to this before I do whatever my spiel ends up looking like. I think Chad is the bulk guy. I think he's going to get to face the most batters up until the Yankees get to the meat of their bullpen.
I agree with that. Well, okay, let's work backwards here. Chapman for the 9th, Britton for the 8th, Canely.
You have to imagine those guys for... You have to combine those guys for 3 innings in a bullpen game.
Okay, so 8, 9, 8, 7. I mean, Britton just threw a good amount of pitches.
Yeah, not too bad, but he didn't pitch the day before.
Okay.
Canely's the dude who's pitched back-to-back days, so he's
so
one
let's
inning.
Eliminate... 3 innings for Chapman and Britton.
Yes.
Then one for Canely. Okay, so we have 5 innings to go. So you give 2+ to Chad.
Let's call it 2 to be safe.
2 to be safe. Now we have 3 innings.
I think it's the kitchen sink, man.
It's 3 innings, and yeah, you might get some... You might get some fucked up shit. You might get Heller for a righty, Tyler Lyons for the lefty, bring in Sessa for batter by batter, bring in Hap for the next lefty. It might be nuts. Ottavino, please toss him in the dumpster. I'm just joking, Adam Ottavino. Yeah. I don't want you in the dumpster.
No, I mean he probably gets a shot. If it's Chirinos and there's 2 outs, that might be a bad amount of Ottavino gets in the second inning. How the times have changed. But yeah, I think the Yankees try to ugly this game up. I think it's the classic when you watch a lesser football team and you're like, yeah, they got to run the ball, control it, make it ugly. I think the Yankees inning 3 through 5 might be ugly. Yeah. You might see Loaisiga, Heller, Hap, Lyons. Who am I missing? Ottavino. You could see 5 pitchers in those innings.
Ottavino will get a chance, but he better be batter by batter. Like, he better be quick hook.
And you know what might be good for him is finding that window. If there's a Gurriel, if there's back-to-back righties towards the bottom of Houston's order, like, maybe be like, Adam, prepare for these guys because you're going to face them in the 4th inning. Like, just be ready for that. Because you have to do anything you can to make him more comfortable than he's been. I think a lot of people are assuming Hap. Jimmy, we've come this far. It's game 6. Let's say Chad is going to go through the Astros lineup once. 30 pitches, whether it's 1.2 innings or it's 3 innings, if he gets somehow clean. when the Astros come up for their second time through the lineup, you're not going to open up Jay Happ with Springer, Brantley, Altuve, and Bregman. That's not how the Yankee ship is going down. And maybe that's what you tell Ottavino. Maybe you tell Ottavino, like, hey, Chad's opening this game. George Springer's first at bat, you better come out and fucking get him because that's yours. And then we're going to go Lyons to Brantley, and then we're going to go another righty, Heller to Bregman and Altuve. Yeah, screw that. I don't know, man. I don't know. Luisaga, get loose,
kid. Yeah, Luisaga and Cesar above Heller. I think Cesar, yeah, could go batter by batter.
Yeah.
Lyons, get a lefty and get him out of there.
I think the end of the story is the Yankees are going to be kitchen sink, literally all hands on deck until about the fifth inning.
And then on Astros' side, like, I have no idea. I mean, we would start Joe Smith, but we don't know if they're actually going to do that. They might start Urquidy. And, like, dude, they might roll Urquidy. Like, if he can give him four, then they'll roll him, I think.
I think it's definition of, like, and Astros fans, again, correct us if we're wrong, because we understand that, like, our point of view isn't perfect on this. But, I mean, Urquidy, again, like, they're only going to let him get in so much trouble, you know? Like,
yeah, but if he's,
know,
if he's,
he's a talented,
if he's
kid,
dealing, I think they'll let him roll. Whereas if Chad's dealing, he's not going more than one time through the order.
Right, I mean, literally for stretched out reasons. I don't know. I don't think Urquidy would. If Urquidy makes it clean twice through the lineup, I still think they pull the plug
twice. Yes.
Like, I don't think Urquidy's. Yeah.
I think the most he'll do is twice through the lineup if he's even starting. Like, we don't know. I guess I should check Twitter, but I doubt they would announce it in a bullpen game. They actually shouldn't. And then, like, Osuna's going to take care of the back half, right? Joe Smith and Will Harris have been getting a lot of innings. Josh James, but the Yankees scored on him.
Yeah, James has been good for them, and he's not starting pitcher stretched out, but he's stretched out decently for a reliever. He's another guy that could open, or they could save him for innings 5 and 6. I don't know. But he's been good this series, and he's one of the more talented arms they have.
And then Ryan Pressly, like, Yankees fans are kind of hoping that he comes out.
Yeah, that would be the fun one on Talking Astros that I don't know if our bias is in there. But I think Talking Astros, they're saying, please don't start Pressly. And I think they're saying don't use Pressly in 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 2 outings this postseason, 0.2 innings, 2 earned runs. In game 2 versus the Yankees, he came out, gave up a hit. They pulled him right away, didn't even get an out. In game 4 versus the Yankees, he got 2 outs, but he walked a batter. He got credited for the win. Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know if they have blind faith in him, like the Yankees seem to have an Ottavino, or if they're like, nah, he hasn't looked great.
I've got an interesting question for you, and I don't know if you saw any of the AJ Hinch quotes, but when AJ Hinch was asked about Gerrit Cole, he pretty much said like, yeah, Cole should be off the table for tomorrow. Do you think if Houston has a lead, maybe after the 6th inning, there's any chance they tell Gerrit Cole to fire it up because he's their best dude?
No, because if you do that, you should have just started him. Because if you're going to burn him for game 7, start him.
Yeah, I agree with you, but the way that he said the quotes has me just a little hesitant. And, I mean, they watched that Boston Red Sox team who literally was like, hey, whoever's up next, like, get ready and get loose. And the Red Sox pushed their team to the limit last year, and it worked. I could see a situation where if they're up 3-1 in the 6th, that they go to Gerrit Cole.
That would be nuts. It would be a dagger. But also, if you do that, Cole needs to be the rest of your game.
Right.
Like, you can't use Cole. He gets the 8th inning. Then you go to Osuna in the 9th. And then I was, no. You can't do that. If you bring in Cole, you need to ride him to the game ends. I don't think they'll do it. They just start him.
I'm just picturing the Red Sox run last year. They had a couple moments where it was like, holy crap, if Houston can somehow push one across, Boston just played their whole hand. It never happened, but Houston might have watched that last year, and if they've got a chance and they have the lead in the later innings, they might just go for the throat with Cole, because Osuna's looked good, Will Harris has looked good, but they're not Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how a bullpen day plays out. We might get like a 1-0 game. These offenses are doing absolutely nothing. Bullpen days are harder. All the runs have come off starters, it feels like. Besides, Ottavino gave up some runs, and then their bullpen gave up some runs in game one. But I think majority of the runs have come off starters, right? Chad gave up a 3-run home run. All the impact runs have come off starters. Is that correct to say? Like, games have been won off starting pitching? Besides game two.
Yeah.
I guess no.
I think, the Gary home run, I think that was relief, and it wasn't impact in the game necessarily, and then the Chad Green 3-run homer, and the Ottavino homer, so no.
Yeah, no, I guess not.
Starting pitching is still your best chance to score early. I don't know, and maybe it'll be a baseball Susan moment that we wake up to a 9-8 game and the lineups do their job on bullpen day. I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right. I think we talked through it all. Nationals are just sitting around hanging out. Other teams are still doing their manager search. Like, there's a lot of other baseball news. I guess once the World Series is over, we're done with these daily shows. We're going to have so much to catch up on. But for now, this is in the grind. If you're a Yankees fan, tune into the pregame show tomorrow before the game. And then I don't know. If the Yankees lose tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to hit that bottom that I hit last night. I think it's kind of like I accepted death, and now we're dancing with the devil a little bit, and either we're still dead, or I'm like, if it gets to game seven, I can't even say it.
Yeah.
Then you'll see some. I'll be unable to control myself as well again.
We'd be fucked up mentally if it goes to game seven. Jim, the scariest thing, speaking from a Yankees fan perspective, is if tomorrow is a tight loss or a crushing loss or however it happens, that would mean the Yankees would have two games they'd point to in this series and say, like, those could have been ours. That's my biggest fear as a Yankee fan right now, is that we end up pointing at game two and being like, fuck, we had them. So I don't know. You're right. We died after game four, but I don't know, man. I'm locked in. How about this? I'd be saying this if it was the other way around. After game one, after game two, I said, I think this bad boy's going seven. It's two great teams. Let's get to seven.
Yeah. All right. That ends this episode. Thank you guys very much for listening and hanging out with us. We will be back tomorrow, either incredibly happy and nervous or incredibly, I guess, sad. And thank you for going on this ride with us. We appreciate it. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.